I'm Susan Barrett.
And I'm Todd Thomas. At Barrett Barrera Projects, we believe that art is a verb.
It's the ongoing process of deconstructing and reconstructing our world.
This season, we'll delve deep into the creative process of some of our most inspiring friends and collaborators to understand how they're navigating this pivotal moment and working to transform our existing systems, reimagine the status quo, and support each other across disciplines in order to create a more sustainable and equitable future for us all.
Welcome to Art as a Verb, a Barrett Barrera project.
In this episode, we're speaking with author, editor, and art critic Antoine Sargent on storming the institution, developing an ethics of care, and widening the possibility and leveraging this moment to build back better. Antoine, who says, "Nothing is too sacred for change," offers great advice on how we can support the next generation of artists in realizing the change they want to see.
Antoine's first book, The New Black Vanguard, Photography Between Art and Fashion, is out now, and we look forward to welcoming Antoine with his upcoming show, Just Pictures, opening September 10th, 2020, at Barrett Barrera Project's own Projects Plus Gallery in St. Louis.
Antoine, welcome, and thanks so much for joining us.
So great to see both of you.
So Antoine, what's going on with you in this COVID time? How's your experience been?
It's been really interesting. Like, there was a lot of projects that I was sort of in the middle of working on, and they're all really great. And then, you know, it all sort of got put on pause. And then, unfortunately, a lot of sort of loss, not only just humans, but also people's creative projects and livelihoods and stuff like that. And so it was really a moment for me in New York where, you know, we experienced it first. Now it's rolling across the country, unfortunately. It was a moment for me to really sort of sit back and think about what I wanted to do and to really think about not only my creative, you know, writing and curatorial and practice, but like also what type of human I wanted to be in the world, right? And so I've been really trying to use this moment, as destructive as it might feel and be in a real way, to really try to come back more thoughtful, more humane, more ethical. There's this sort of funny thing that Cuomo has been saying, which is like, build back better, you know? And it's sort of a silly slogan, but there is something, I think, important to this moment where we can all really be reimagining who we are to in relationship to each other, but also developing sort of a, you know, ethics of care and institutions that really sort of respect and value who we are, regardless of political affiliations and what have you. And so I've been really interested in that. And also, you know, helping out where I can, protesting where I can, and really just sort of thinking about the future as much as I can.
I know that it's difficult, and it's a shared emotion that we've had with all the people that we've spoken with here, the feeling of suffering and loss and what we're going through and the uncertainty of our futures and our work and how that's changing. But to backtrack just a second, can you tell us a little bit about your history? I know that you have a master's degree in education and you started as a teacher.
Right.
And now you're into a different area of work. And I'm wondering how that transaction happened.
Well, that was 10 years ago. I grew up in Chicago. I was super interested in politics. And so that led me to Georgetown University School of Foreign Service. And I studied there and I interned for Hillary Clinton and worked on various sort of political campaigns and things like that. Then I moved to New York. My first job, I was really kind of keen that it was community-based, something that really, you know, helped the communities. And I thought that Teach for America was, at the time, something that was really helping, you know, our communities and really a place where I could have the biggest sort of direct impact. And so I became a teacher and I taught for 4 years. I was a literature teacher. And so I taught a score of kids how to read and how to think and to how to really negotiate the world with comprehension skills. And while I was doing that, I sort of fell into the art scene in New York. You know, art has always been super important to me throughout my life. Chicago has, you know, world-class art institutions, and Washington, D.C. has world-class art institutions. So it's always been a really important part of my life. And then I remember going to Mickalene Thomas's show at the Brooklyn Museum, her survey there, and seeing the works there, and they just really sort of knocked me off my feet. It wasn't so much like I saw myself. It was more so like, wow, this is possible. And so from there, I was just sort of kind of really interested in the work, and I was like looking online to read more about her, more about artists like her and stuff like that. And I just didn't see a lot. And so I just started to have those conversations with those artists and start to publish those conversations and just kept going. And for a while, it was just me like talking to the artists that I just really felt sort of a personal connection to. And here we are. And then exhibitions and, you know, in all these sort of kind of other sort of ways, you know, right now, as I speak to you, I'm on a shoot with Tyler Mitchell, who's a photographer and someone I'm very close to and has a very close kind of collaborative relationship to, and just helping out where I can and really sort of thinking through, helping artists think through sort of project conceptually. And now, you know, having the opportunity to really sort of work with artists in a lot of different capacities, you know, from curating exhibitions to talking through projects that they're working on and giving them feedback on different bodies of work, to being critical and being a critic and to writing about the work. And so, I mean, I love it, really.
Tell us about the transition between teaching kids and communicating with artists. What did you learn from teaching, I guess, that you can apply to art and artists?
When you're teaching, it really is about empathy. Right. And sort of trying to understand where people are coming from and ethics of care. Right. And so, you know, it really is not so much about just artists, but it's just about a worldview when you're teaching. And I was by the way, I was a kindergarten and third grade teacher. So I was entrusted with children who were just starting to start to figure out what the world could be, you know. And for me, it was about making sure that they had the biggest imaginations possible. Right. And I often see sort of that dreaming and that sort of imaginative work whenever I'm in an artist studio and working with an artist and thinking about sort of what's possible.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
I never really thought about the connection between teaching and working with artists, but I think that that is one of the things that I have seen, you know, over the last decade, is that there is this sort of always this commitment to possibility and this commitment to sort of dreaming up a new world and a new way of seeing things. Right. And so, and I think that with artists and with the students that I taught, it was always about sort of meeting them where they were and always kind of seeing the world from their eyes, right? You know, a lot of sort of deep listening has to go on when you're trying to think about, you know, an artist or a student and sort of their projects and lives and education capacities in terms of students, but with artists in terms of what they are trying to bring into the world and how you can aid that or how you can help to sort of contextualize that for an audience.
Love that.
Antoine, your book and exhibition from last year, The New Black Vanguard, Photography Between Art and Fashion, focused on ways young Black photographers are making commercial work through the context of art and fashion. Can you tell us how that project came about?
Sure. So Aperture Foundation, which is an amazing photo organization, you know, around for decades and decades since, you know, Enzo Adam and others sort of came together to start a photography foundation that really sort of focused on photographers and photographers' voices, right, in ways that they weren't before. And so Aperture has this really great history publishing photographers like Nan Golden, and more recently, Sarah Lewis, you know, edited the Vision and Justice issue, you know, that landmark issue of their magazine. And so Chris Booth, who's the editor there, and Leslie, who's a creative director, came to me and said, hey, we have a slot open for our books in the fall. And we were wondering if you wanted to do a book and what would it be? And instantly, it had to be about this generation of photographers, which I call the New Black Vanguard, that are making a lot of images that we're always grappling with now in sort of this age of social media. And no one was really sort of thinking about their images in sort of a critical way, or thinking about their images and how they might connect to the histories of commercial photography, but also the history of art photography and the references and inspirations that they had. And so I just thought that very often with Black artists, you don't get to think about them early in their career and to sort of kind of think through their ideas at the beginning of their career and not after they've had some level of sort of resounding success, right?
Right.
And so I just thought that these photographers, a lot of them unknown in the art world, had built tremendous followings outside the art world and their images mattered. And I wanted to do a project that really spoke to the fact that their images mattered and they were powerful images and they were really sort of changing our perceptions of not only the Black body, but also, you know, the possibility of photography.
Well, what's so interesting about that, too, is a lot of artists now, and I think it starts with the African-American artists, are not only starting from a different career like fashion into fine arts,
right,
but then go back to, like, you start with Micheline, for example, and now she's embracing the commercial partnerships.
Exactly.
Which is something fairly new. Can you talk about that?
I don't actually think it's fairly new. I think if you go back to someone like Man Ray, for example, right? Mm-hmm. He was doing the same thing. You go back to someone, I think you have William Eagleson, right? Doing the same thing. There's a history of photographers making commercial work. But for some reason, the art world had been less sort of interested in acknowledging those histories of commercial work.
Yeah.
Particularly with the history of photography, right?
Right. I mean, photography has taken a while to be considered.
Exactly. The history of photography has taken a while to be considered fine art, right? And so because of that history, you had photographers having to figure out the way to survive. And they've survived a lot through commercial commissions, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have that history, right? And you have that history sort of with every major photographer you can think of. And also with a lot of artists who are not necessarily photographers, but who have had sort of this commercial sort of bent to pay their rent so they can make the art that they want, right? And so I think what you have with this generation is them no longer willing to ignore it, right? And they're saying that, you know, we're going to embrace every aspect of our creativity, and we're not going to put up superficial boundaries around what's fine art or what's commercial.
Right.
You know, for them, an image is just an image.
And all of our platforms are converging.
Exactly. And then you have this sort of other thing where our platforms, or where we experience, or how we even experience art these days, are often through the photographic, right? So even mm-hmm. when you, especially now in the age of COVID, now we're all have gone to online exhibitions, right? And what are online exhibitions? They're glorified photo galleries, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that you have this generation of photographers who have embraced the fact that they are willing to put their practices under one sort of centralized vision, and they don't think commercial or fashion are dirty words, right? And they're willing to say that, you know what, our inspiration, you know, we're going to refuse to sort of submit to some of the pressures around the art market, right? Which has kind of, I think, heightened the need for these sort of separations. And we're going to make the work that we want to make. And we're going to present that work on billboards, and we're going to present them in museums and in galleries. And we're going to present that work on the cover of magazines, because the work matters. And the power of the work is evidenced through the fact that it's able to occupy many different platforms at once for many different audiences. I think one of the great promises of this work is that it's able to not only speak to one particular audience, one image is able to speak across the different divides. If there's one thing that I think about the future of art, is that we're going to have more and more of that. We're going to have less divides. We're going to have more artists partnering with fashion brands. We're going to have more fashion brands partnering with museums. We're going to have more galleries interested in reaching beyond their clientele and thinking about how to engage others outside of the traditional audiences that we have, because that honestly is the only way that they're going to survive.
Yeah.
That's a big premise of what we talk about in Susan's concept of art as a verb, is exactly what you just spoke about. On that same note about the transmission of work and where that comes out, where that lands now, the publishing industry is becoming completely extinct and everything is changing in that area. And we're uncertain in what's happening in the art world, how that will be affected as we emerge from this. How does that photo art product exist now in the virtual age and in the age of changes we're experiencing through COVID? How does that physical product exist, or does it? What's the reality of that?
One thing about that, particularly with photography and with these photographers in New Black Vanguard and others who are working like them, is the fact that they were already thinking about a future beyond magazines. They're already thinking mm-hmm. about future beyond the institutions that got us through the 20th century, right? I think that every century deserves their own institutions. And I don't have an answer. I'm watching what the artists are doing, and I'm sort of looking at that and saying, oh, this is an interesting idea. Oh, you want to make your own online magazine? Oh, okay, this is interesting. Oh, you want to start your own publishing arm? Oh, this is interesting. Oh, you want to make sure that you're collaborating across, you're bringing sort of fashion brands and museums and artists together to sort of support a new book project or new exhibition. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, maybe that's the future. I think one of the things we have to be is open to the possibility open to change, agile. Open to new institutions. You know what I mean? And I don't think that like anything is too sacred for change. And I think that that's one of the things that these young artists, not just photographers, but the other young artists I also work with, has really instilled in me, is that we always have to be constantly looking at the world in new ways and thinking about how do we make sure that we're driving towards more, not just inclusion, but liberation.
Right.
How do we make sure that people are being free to express themselves the way that they want to? Artists, but also the general public.
Right. How much of that change of self-actualization is from exclusion of those places that held things so tightly?
I think that's the other thing is, right? Like, if you have to think about the history of exclusion, because for a very long time, a lot of those institutions had, as you said, excluded a great many people, right? And so for a very long time, those institutions didn't actually matter in the lives of a lot of people who have a lot of cultural mm-hmm. power now today, right? And so mm-hmm. one of the things is like these institutions are in a crisis because people aren't buying magazines or buying less books or whatever. And part of that is because for so long, the audiences had grown in other spaces, right? And so it's one thing's like, you know, I said I'm on the shoot with Tyler Mitchell right now, and Tyler Mitchell built his own audience before Vogue came mm-hmm. to him or before the art world came to him, right? He built his own digital community, hundreds of thousands of Instagram followers, you know, people on Twitter, people on Tumblr, right? And he published his own book, you know what I mean? And so in a lot of ways, he didn't need the institution, right? In a lot of ways, he's doing the institution a favor for going back and working with them. And so I think to kind of sum it up, they need to be agile. They need to think beyond their own biases and their own sort of ideas of what culture is, and to really think and allow for the possibility to change, but also to look at what's already taking shape in the culture and seeing how they can sort of help support that or make that reflective of their institutional missions.
It's fascinating because in a way, what COVID then did
was sped up the timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for the ivory towers, it really just dismantled something, which was the traditional relationship with art. You walk into a museum, you walk into a gallery. And so by not being able to, you have younger Instagram influencers, et cetera, who already had captive a new form of looking at things. And in fact, that's how I met you, Antoine, is through Instagram. So look at how far ahead now those who understand Instagram and those who understand various platforms, mm-hmm. look at how far ahead they are. Whereas the traditional museums and galleries were scrambling to figure out, how do we bring people outside of a physical platform to right. see what we're doing? So I want to compare that also with Black Lives Matter, because what COVID did for the institutions, Black Lives Matter is doing for the culture. Mm-hmm. Like, let us in. We need to think about this in a different way.
Right. I think that it's not even so much about letting us in, right? Because like I think that sort of flattened the sort of nuance that I think is important, particularly with Black Lives Matter, is that
you're already in. That's the whole thing.
Exactly. That's the point. The point is that what you don't realize is that you need to realize that we have already stormed the institutions.
Right, right.
So that is sort of what's happening here, is that people are realizing like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
They're already here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to catch up.
Exactly. That's why it's so messy, right? Because you see a lot of trying to catch up.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot of backtracking and a lot of like, oh, this is a genius idea that we didn't acknowledge. Can we have some, please?
Exactly. So that's why in 2020, you see the first Black photographer to shoot this or that. And it's really, frankly, an embarrassment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it also reveals this sort of institutional racism. And beyond that, the institution trying to protect its racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you think about the history, and I don't want to make this into sort of just about photography, because I think there's a lot of artists and a lot of sort of
designers and
voices that just, you know, creatives really, who still deserve.
Filmmakers. Yep, exactly.
And film, I mean, just so many. And so, but like, I think if you think about, there's generations of talent, right, who have been overlooked, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, on that note, Antoine, that was something that I wanted to ask you about. Until recently, where people have been acknowledged, and given space, there have been many Black and minority artists and designers and photographers and writers and people in the art world. Are there people that came before you from previous generations that have specifically inspired or informed how you work or how you approach what you do?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, one of the things is that we're not talking about a handful of shows here. We're not talking about the fact that, like, over the last few years that we've gotten the Kerry James Marshall retrospective and we got, you know, Soul of a Nation and this and that. I mean, what we're talking about here is a whole century plus 20 years mm-hmm. of exclusion, right? So my thing is there are people who came before me who I 100% look up to, Hilton Alls, Thelma Golden. Mm-hmm. I can just continue sort of naming them, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's also people who I discover every day who I did not have the pleasure of knowing in my youth and development that I wish I had. Right. Mm-hmm. And so part of this is so much about, yes, like you find the people that you need to help you sort of do the work and get there. But then what keeps me up at night is all the people that I was not able to encounter that could have made my creative path a little bit more easier.
Mm-hmm.
What's heartbreaking about that is that it's by design. It wasn't because they weren't talented enough. It wasn't because they didn't have the sort of all the things that we tell ourselves about our history. Right. One of the people that I, you know, a couple of years ago who I got to know and actually end up writing a catalog for was Ed Clark, the postwar abstract painter, right? And I was like, wow, it would have been really great to know that Ed existed as a teenager, right?
Right.
Because the thing is, it's about the widening of possibility, right? It's about the widening of notions of who we are. That's why it matters who's on a cover of a magazine, or that's why it matters who's in our art history books, or when you go to a museum, who you see and things like that, because you need somebody and you need the world to constantly, as you're developing, and this is what I do with my kids, you know, when I was a teacher, you need someone to be able to be there to say, it's okay, you matter, it's fine,
mm-hmm.
try that, fail, experiment, get back up, we're here. And that comes through sort of your parents, but that also comes to be able to having the possibility to walk through to our Institute of Chicago and see an Ed Clark work there, right?
Right, exactly.
Ed Clark, who grew up in Chicago for a time, right? Inspiration's a funny thing, right? Like, you don't know where it comes from. You don't know what's going to inspire you, but you want to have the possibility of having it there, you know? We're talking about not too long ago, Black people weren't allowed in the Met. And this wasn't 100 years ago. This is the 1960s, you know? And so we're talking about in my parents' lifetime, we're talking about in my grandparents' lifetime, them not being allowed to see art, right? And so I think that, like, one of the things, if we're looking at it that way, one of the things that's so kind of amazing and that gives me so much hope is the fact that so much progress has been made, which means that I know that so much more progress can happen.
And it needs to. You know, that's something that we should think about and take away. And we're kind of reaching a point where we need to wrap up. And I think we should probably end on that note.
I just wanted to ask what's next in terms of your next show, especially in St. Louis.
What's next is, yes, Just Pictures, which is happening at your space, which I'm really sort of excited about it.
Projects Plus Gallery.
Yes. And with the New Black Vanguard, we started a conversation. It was the start of a conversation. It wasn't a conclusion of a conversation. It was the start. And mm-hmm. so I'm happy that we get to partner to further explore these ideas that were raised just last year. And so we're going to do that with a new group of photographers. We're going to see what their concerns are. We're going to see what the possibility of the worlds that they're creating. And I'm really super excited about having the possibility of being able to do this in St. Louis and include Justin Solomon, who's a local photographer there, who's thinking beyond just sort of the figure, right? And the figurative and thinking about color and shadow and shape. And so I'm just really sort of excited and I cannot wait. You know, we've been working on the show and I cannot wait until it opens.
We are so excited too. And I can't wait to see you in a 6 weeks or so.
Exactly.
Thank you, because the conversation, it's just constant. We need to continue more and there's just not enough time.
Please, yes.
Exactly. And I think that one of the things that's going to be so great about the exhibition is the possibility for programming, right? And so us, you know, being in conversation with the artists, being in conversation with other thinkers, and being in, you know, just us all being in conversation, because I think one of the things that I'm really sort of excited about is the fact that we get to sort of dream of a new world together.
Right.
And we get to try to make that together. And I think
yes,
that, like,
please.
For me, this is the work of being able to try new things and see if they work out, and to bring new ideas places and be affected by new ideas and to expand my thinking. So I'm really excited that Jess Pictures is going to be a part of that conversation, and that we continue to be able to be in dialogue and fellowship, and to really try to think about how do we make institutions and to make an art that is centered on our sort of lives and our sort of freedom and liberation.
Love that.
Antoine, thank you so much for participating with us. This has been inspirational. And
thank you guys for having me. This is really great.
We look forward to seeing your new book, too.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thank
Antoine.
You very much. You've been listening to Art is a Verb, a Barrett Barrera project. If you like what you just heard, please be sure to rate, review, and share this episode on social media, via email, or by any other means.
For more information on Barrett Barrera projects and to learn about upcoming projects and exhibitions, visit barrettbarrera.com. That's BARRETTBARRERA.com.
Keep up with our podcast by subscribing for free in your favorite podcast app. Just search Art is a Verb. The Art is a Verb podcast is produced by Olu and Company and is edited by JAG and Detroit Podcasts. The music in this show is H.A.M. by Eloise and the Savoir Faire.